Chapter 12. Sobbing in absolute misery, I threw myself onto my bed. I wept for Zachariah, for Cranach, even for Captain Jaggery, but most of all I wept for myself. There was no way to avoid the truth that all the horror I'd witnessed had been brought about by me. As the ghastly scenes repeated themselves in my mind, I realized, too, that there was no way of denying what the captain had done. Captain Jaggery, my friend, my guardian, my father's employee, had been unspeakably cruel. Not only had he killed Cranach, who was, I knew, threatening him, he had clearly meant to kill Zachariah, for no reason other than that he was helpless. He singled him out because he was the oldest and weakest. Or was it because he was black? Or was it, I asked myself suddenly, because he was my friend? Just the thought made me shiver convulsively. Tears of regret and guilt redoubled. My weeping lasted for the better part of an hour. Aside from reliving the fearsome events, I was trying desperately to decide what to do. As I grasped the situation, the crew would have nothing but loathing for me who had so betrayed them. And they were right. After their kindliness and acceptance, I had betrayed them. And Captain Jaggery, without intending to, hadn't I done him a great wrong when I'd cut his face, albeit unintentionally, with the whip? Could he, would he, forgive me? Beyond all else, I had been educated to the belief that when I was wrong, and how often had my patient father found me at fault, it was my responsibility, mine alone, to admit my fault and make amends. Gradually, then, I came to believe that no matter how distasteful, I must beg the captain's forgiveness, and the sooner I did so, the better. With this in mind, I rose up, brushed my hair, washed my face, smoothed my dress, rubbed my shoes. Then, as ready as I could ever hope to be under the circumstances, I went to his cabin door and knocked timidly. There was no answer. Again I knocked, perhaps a little more boldly. This time I heard, "Who is it?" "Charlotte Doyle, sir." My words were met by an ominous silence. But after a while he said, "What do you want?" "Please, sir, I beg you let me speak with you." When silence was again the response, I nearly accepted defeat and went away. But at last I heard steps within. Then came the word, "Enter." I opened the door and looked in. Captain Jaggery was standing with his back to me. I remained at the threshold, waiting for him to invite me to proceed further. He neither moved nor spoke. "Sir?" I tried.
"What?"
I did not mean..."
"You did not mean what?"
"I did not mean to interfere," I managed to say, now meekly advancing toward him. "I was so frightened. I didn't know. I had no intention..."